here to talk Houston Texans football with us. We always enjoy having him on the show from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Sean Pendergast, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. I will say this, and I know this is not a popular thing to say from outside of Houston. I'm glad you have the Astros to focus on, because focusing on your football team might be detrimental to your health.
Yeah, you got that right. Thank God for the Astros. And you're right. It is, probably is not a popular take around the country, but we long since have gotten over the trash can banging, especially once, you know, J.J. Watt was gone and Deshaun Watson wants to be traded, and then he's getting sued, and then we got the Rockets are the worst team in basketball. So, yes,
brutal.
Baseball is our happy place.
I'm glad to see, though, the David Johnson trade's working out for you guys.
Now, why are you doing this? Come on, man.
He does it all the time, Sean. He does it all the time.
All right, give us the emotional state of the Houston Texans entering this game against the Cardinals.
We're talking of the emotional state of the team.
Yes.
I think
how dangerous are they to the Cardinals?
Not really dangerous at all to the Cardinals. I think the emotional state of the team. Like, I don't know that any of the players were really deluding themselves into thinking that this was going to be a playoff team or anything. They're going to go in and give it the old college try on Sunday. I think the thing that people need to know outside of Houston about this team is that while they are in a rebuild, the Texans, they're not even close to like the first step of what is a true rebuild. They don't have many young guys on this team at all. Mm-hmm. It's the roster. If you look at the roster, it's a bunch of veteran guys who signed 1-year deals. It's guys who, you know, a few holdovers from the O'Brien era. But as far as young players that they actually drafted, that the team actually picked, there aren't that many. I mean, you can maybe count on both hands how many drafted guys there are that are going to take the field for the Texans on Sunday. So it's a lot of guys, I think, that are sort of playing to put film out there so they can get whatever the next contract is going to be next year. It is a lot of pretty high character guys. I think they're big on that. But there's just not a lot of good football players on the team. Like, I say all this to say, I don't know that it matters what the mental state is of this team, because they suck. They're not good at football. You know what I mean?
Sean Pendergast, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. One of the things that stands out to me when looking at the talent offensively for Houston is at the running back spot, they got some names. They got some players who have had some success in the league, and Ingram and David Johnson and even Philip Lindsay. But the production hasn't been there. Has that been more a product of shoddy offensive line play, Sean, or just the game situation with them trying to come back every week?
I think it's a couple of things. One, while the guys you just named have all done some things in the league, none of them are at a stage in their career where you can, you know, climb on their back and ride them to whatever you're looking to get each week out of a running game. The blocking in the run game is still horrific. It was the worst in the league last year, and it's, even though they've got a new offensive line coach and a couple new pieces, the blocking is still really bad. It's not it's an offensive line that looks confused in the run game. But the running backs themselves are kind of shot. I mean, Mark Ingram is over 30. I don't know if David Johnson is 30 yet, but he certainly runs like he's over 30. And Philip Lindsay has the wiggle of an Amtrak train. Like, he just runs headfirst into whatever offensive lineman is in front of him. So it's here's the thing, guys, like, they want to run the football. That's what they state as their thing. Well, we want to run the football. Well, awesome. You're 32nd in the league at running the football. So there's frustration because there's some young running backs on the roster that don't get on the field. Well, one in particular is named Scotty Phillips. That's where we are in Houston right now. Like, I think people just want to, you know, they don't want to see old. They want to see some new and feel like this thing's starting to move in a direction where there is actual rebuilding going on.
What is, I don't know how J.J. Watt compares to D-Hop in terms of the way that Houstonians look at them or feel about them. Is there a difference? Does this weekend's game carry any additional weight emotionally because of their histories with Houston?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's been the biggest storyline all week. On my show today, we were just on for 4 hours, and the segments where we weren't talking about the Astros, the rare segments where we were talking about this game, we were playing audio from J.J. Watt's Zoom call from yesterday that he did with the Houston media. There's nothing about this game X's and O's wise that interests Houstonians right now, because I think the Cardinals are going to beat them by 4 touchdowns. So it's a huge storyline. It was a huge storyline the second the schedule came out. You know, like right. And to answer your question about where these guys sit, look, they are J.J. Watt is the greatest Houston Texan of all time. He's a future Hall of Famer, first ballot. He is arguably the most popular athlete in the last 25 years, maybe ever, other than Hakeem Olajuwon, in the city of Houston. So he's on a different level, and it's not a slight to Hopkins. Like, J.J.'s on a different level from everybody because of the level of play, the type of human being he is, all the stuff he did when the hurricane hit a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He raised $40 million for the city. Hopkins is viewed, it's interesting, Hopkins, great player. You know, I think you could argue right there with Andre Johnson as the greatest receiver in the history of the franchise. I think Hopkins' situation is a little bit different because he was traded by Bill O'Brien. I think he's viewed more as a figure representing the O'Brien regime as much as he is representing him being a great player. And so there's a lot of anger surrounding the Hopkins ethos. And it's not because of DeAndre. It's because DeAndre was traded for David Johnson in a second-round pick. J.J.'s split with the team was much more understandable and amicable. Those are things that happen on bad teams with aging players. They go places where they're going to win some football games. So it's different with both guys, but I think both move the emotional meter for Texan fans. It's just different emotions that they're conjuring up, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Sean Pendergast from Sports Radio 610 in Houston, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. And still hanging over this franchise's head, too, is the Deshaun Watson situation. It's been a mess for a while. It was a mess, really, just from his desire to get out of town before all the legal trouble popped up. So I got to know, Sean, does it make sense right now to you that there is reportedly more than one NFL team that is interested in trading for Deshaun Watson in the very near future?
No, I mean, like, just purely on paper, if it's for the type of package that Nick Caserio is looking to get for Deshaun Watson, then no. Because Nick Caserio is trying to break the bank. He's trying to get 3 firsts and a couple of seconds mm-hmm. for Deshaun Watson. So there's still so much left to be hashed out with Deshaun's legal situation. There's an open investigation with HPD that's still open. The 22 lawsuits are still sitting out there. We don't know what the league is going to do with Deshaun. So the rumors popping up make sense only in so much as they seem to pop up every 3 weeks, because you've got these national reporters that, you know, they like, okay, well, let's put some Deshaun Watson stuff out there, and that gets some clicks. I would be, and I know the rumors were really hot and heavy earlier this week about the Dolphins. Uh-huh. I'll still believe it when I see it, that he gets traded before there's some sort of resolution to it. At the very least, the police and the league situation. I think he could play with the civil lawsuit still out there, because that's nothing that's going right. to affect his availability. You know, he can deal with those while still playing football. But the league needs to give some clarity on whether or not they're going to suspend him. And most importantly, the police need to give some clarity on if they're going to charge him with anything.
Yeah. Do you think Caserio comes off those demands between now and the trade deadline?
I think if it gets done between now and the trade deadline, then it wouldn't shock me if it were for slightly less than what has been rumored out there. Because I think one of the things the Texans are up against right now is the danger that this thing drifts into next offseason and next season. Mm-hmm. You know, the legal stuff could drag on for a while.
Absolutely.
And the league might just wait until the legal stuff hashes out before they dish out a punishment. You can carry Deshaun Watson on the roster this year and sit him down when you're paying him $10 million, his salary goes up to $35 million next year. So I do think that there's probably a price or a tax, if you will, that Nick Caserio is willing to incur to get out from underneath the uncertainty, the black cloud, the potential financial salary cap disaster of carrying Deshaun Watson and paying him to just come in and lift weights every day.
Yeah, right.
Sean, as always, great stuff, man. Appreciate you spending some time with us today.